On Sunday mornings, I always begin my day by checking email and then Facebook. That's how I knew it was the girl's birthday. I saw the picture with the cake. This morning, as I was looking through the post and news, I was called to update my own status with a post, a piece that was written by German Lutheran pastor Martin Niemöller. I changed it quite a bit. First, they came for the illegal immigrants, and I did not speak out because I was not an illegal immigrant. Then they came for the Muslims, and I did not speak out because I was not a Muslim. Then they came for the LGBTQ folks, and I did not speak out because I was not a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer person. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Last week, I spoke about the violence that is overtaking this country and our world. I believe that the violence that is being perpetrated is beyond the lone gunman, but that it has become a way of being from the highest level of government. I believe that much of the insecurity and overt violence that is currently being perpetuated on a person is on a person-to-person level is because of the hateful rhetoric that is being spewed at the national level, and it is totally disconcerting to me. After last week's sermon, the question on many of our minds was where we might go from here. How many of you asked me that question last week? Quite a few. Here being this time in history that is truly ours to define. What do we expect from our culture and our country? How do we want to be seen? Maybe a better word might be understood by other co-inhabitants of the planet Earth. What does it mean to be American, and what would we like it to mean? I spent a lot of time thinking this week about one question in particular. Do we think that we are good, caring people? Am I? Are you a good person? My initial inclination is to say, yes, of course we're good people. We have dedicated our lives to being a person who advocates and journeys with others, even through some of the hardest parts of life. I personally care about this planet. I see the connections between our actions and their consequences. I know that I'm not alone in my concerns. Ultimately, I am truly trying to make a positive difference in our world. But am I willing to put my life on the line? My hope and goal is to try to do the right thing on a moment-by-moment basis, with a pure soul and a clean conscience. I also realize that I'm only one perspective with regard to what the right thing might be. But at least I am mindful of the expanse of perspectives that make up this world. I am mindful that it takes all of us to know what is truly the right thing. At the most basic level, I believe that my work is to cultivate opportunities for us all to live more fully and happier lives, cared for without fear of hunger or persecution because of the way that we look, our sense of identity, our beliefs. After all, this is America. That is why I committed my life to being a Unitarian Universalist minister. I wanted to be a full-time, active part of a solution to our world's fear of difference. Because frankly, I am different. Being different, being queer, is something that I've worked very hard to accept in myself and honor in myself since I was a teen. I try to imagine and have seen glimpses of a world that is safe for all, regardless of color, belief, identity, or religion. My call as a Unitarian Universalist minister is to literally comfort the afflicted, and at the same time, to afflict the comfortable. That is what I did with last week's sermon. How many people felt uncomfortable last week? Tell the truth, it's okay. That is what I did, is to make you feel uncomfortable on purpose. I afflicted us with the truth about this country's romance with violence, sans any candy coating. I went for it. And it is a hard truth to face. And at times I know that we feel powerless with all of the work that we have to do in front of us to make the world a better place. It seems daunting. But dear ones, we must stand up and speak out for all. We are here to be of service for the betterment of our species. Anything less than that is less than. All colors, all creeds, all identities, while also advocating for our planet. In reality, no matter how hard I try, there will always be someone else on the other side of an issue that has a difference of opinion. And chances are they're going to be equally as passionate about it as we are. Healthcare, birth control, DACA, Medicare, Medicaid. People get personal and judgmental when you do not agree with them. I have heard more than once that I am nothing more than a bleeding heart liberal. Personally, I do not like to be judged. But I say, go ahead and judge me. I am willing to be judged on the content of my character, on my willingness to stand up, speak out before it is too late. My heart is pure, and I will give my life for the sake of this planet and her inhabitants, for you. I heard a difficult truth from a daring soul this week who shared with me really gently that how I look, short hair and comfortable, less feminine clothing, seems like I'm trying to make a statement about my gender. And that this statement, I assure you that I'm not trying to make, might preclude people from actually hearing, receiving, and relating to my message of inclusivity and love. Could that really be true? Does how I look and dress overshadow my message? Imagine how others are judged for their very identities, things that they cannot change, like the color of their skin, or where they live, or their religion, or a disability. Let us all be judged by the content of our character, not our age or how we look. My hope for us is to build a beloved community that includes all, regardless of identity. We do not all fit within nice, neat little boxes, or even feel comfortable in those boxes if we do sort of, kind of fit with one leg hanging out. So why should we be forced into them for comfort of societal norms? Why? What are we trying to prove? This week I read a poem by Reverend Dory Summers that paints a picture of what such a beloved community might look like. It's called A House for Our Dreams. We, all of us, build houses for our dreams. The masonry and lumber, glass and tiles, a solid form, wherein we see our hopes, a shelter and protection for our growth. This house shall be a dwelling place for courage, for integrity, for love, engendered and nourished by a family that speaks of we and means all humankind. These walls shall represent the privacy and dignity of individuals, the open doors a welcome to all people, all ages, all generations. The windows shall keep light of inquiry illumined from outside and within. May all words spoken here be born of love and energy rekindled in the hearts of those who dreamed this house, who plied the tools and paid the price to actualize the dream. May dreaming never cease for those within who know the world to be a troubled place, but dare to struggle with imperfectness toward that brighter hope, that better day. Let memories add warmth, a heritage, a quilted patchwork stitched with history of kindness, of daring for the good, of funny moments, jokes and smiles and tears. This is a precious place, as every home that shelters those who love and strive and share. Its blessing is in lives that meet within. It's living, learning, caring, sheltered here. First Parish should be such a house for our dreams. Several of you asked me last week, what can we do to make the world a better place? I say out loud to us all today, let us get our house in order. Get our hearts, minds, and convictions in order. Look at our own judgments of others and ourselves and open our hearts and minds to difference. Be proud to be a lunatic liberal with a conscience. For history will shine brightly on our agenda of inclusion and concern for all. Do not be silenced. Do not be afraid to fly your own unique freak flag. Stand up, stand up, stand up. I am here to help. I am here to support. I am here to encourage us to not be afraid, but instead to cultivate our courage, to take a lead on creating the First Parish home of our dreams. You have no idea how afraid I am to call us to this work, to invite us to be genuine in who we are and to live out our Unitarian Universalist principles here at home and abroad. Why am I afraid? You may wonder. Because in my willingness to speak out about what I see and experience, I am afraid to be judged. Cultivating courage begins at home. And today, this is what I endeavor to do. If we are affirmed in who we are in this world, we can do anything. Think about your 50 years together, 49 and a half years together. That support makes you better people together. The same is true for all of us. If we are confident in the content of our character, then we can be agents of change. That is what this country desperately needs us to be. But if we are afraid to stand up, if we are afraid to be judged, if we are afraid to speak the truth to power, then in no uncertain terms, we have given away the essence of what we bring to this world in our own unique ways. People often ask me questions in hopes of hearing some esoteric truth. They seem to want me to tell them a secret. But the most fundamental secret I know is rooted in something that we already possess. We do. Basic goodness. In spite of the extreme hardship and cruelty we see happening throughout the world, the basis of everything is completely pure and good. Our heart and mind are inherently awake. This basic goodness is a quality of complete wholesomeness. It includes everything. But before we can begin the adventure of transforming ourselves into awakened people, much less the adventure of living our lives with true joy and happiness, we need to discover this secret for ourselves. Then we have the real possibility of cultivating courage from which we can radiate love and compassion to others. So what does it take to cultivate courage? I rely heavily here on an article that I read about courage, and it begins with a story. On a beautiful summer day, evening actually, in 2016, not that long ago, actress Christina Clark was walking her dog in Ashland, Oregon, where she was performing with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. A man on a bicycle approached, and she pulled out her earbuds to hear him say, "It's still an Oregon law. I could kill a black person and be out of jail in a day and a half. Look it up. The KKK is alive and well here." Clark, who is an African American, was badly shaken. Carolyn and Daniel Werner, who live nearby, heard what sounded like someone being threatened and rushed outside. They asked Clark if she was being harassed and if she was all right, offering warmth and a welcoming sense of safety in a deeply unsettling moment. Whether it's intervening in an act of bullying or harassment, defending our views at the family dinner table, or refraining from unkind gossip, standing up for ourselves and others takes guts. It also takes heart. Best-selling author Brené Brown shares that the word courage comes from the Latin word heart. Courage encompasses both the inner strength and the vulnerability required to authentically share ourselves and our experiences, good and bad. Some of us need to gather the nerve to speak up, while others may find it hard to resist the natural rush to anger or defensiveness or aggression. In both cases, we suppress the vulnerability that true courage requires. Vulnerability is not weakness. And the uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure we face every day are not optional. Brené Brown teaches that our willingness to own and engage with our vulnerability determines the depth of our courage. Some important steps to take in order to cultivate courage are obvious, while others are elusive. Firstly, we begin by choosing courage as a lifelong strategy, especially when we choose to embrace fear. Pema Chodron, Buddhist nun and author, shares that the journey of knowing fear, moving closer to fear, is in fact the journey of courage. One actually can stay with fear, can actually turn toward it, can leap into it, rather than having it set off a chain reaction. Recognizing when our hearts and minds begin to race is the first step towards interrupting this fear reaction. Everybody know what that feels like? Your heart just jumps up in your throat, and you feel like, I'm going to, like, pass out right now. That's what it feels like to face into fear. The next step is to take a deep breath and to speak from our hearts. Viktor Frankl, Holocaust survivor and author, explained that between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. Choose to face fear. Choose to be courageous. It is our choice in each moment, with each challenge or fear, whether or not to speak. How can we build such a response when we fear we are called to speak? To cultivate courage, one must also cultivate a sense of worthiness. We begin with an understanding which is encompassed by our first UU principle. Anyone know what it is? Let's hear it. That is realizing that ours and others' inherent worth and dignity is innate and not earned. It is innate and not earned. We extend and grasp deeply within us that others matter, no matter why or how. They are no more or no less than us, than we. People matter. This is a bit challenging at times to comprehend when our country's actions say something that is completely opposite. My friends, many of us believe we'll be fully deserving of love and belonging only when we meet certain external expectations. When we lose that 10 pounds. Anyone? Grow out our hair or get that promotion. It's an attitude that not only keeps us from living fully in the present moment, but it also undermines our ability to stand for our values. If we don't believe our stance is worth fighting for, guess what? We will not fight for it. To find our way to courage, we must identify the patterns that hold us back. Befriend, better understand stress that causes us to be stuck, own our power and refuse to give it away or allow someone else to take it away or shame us into silence. Find allies who will help us to remember that we are powerful and stay committed to living a life of integrity based on our values, also known as our UU principles. This morning, I'm here to remind us that if we want to make a difference in the world, we must start within our own minds and our own hearts. Dare to face our fear, put aside judgments of ourselves and others, and to know without a doubt that if we build the beloved community, the people will come, wholly expecting to be fully accepted for who they are and what they bring. Let us be ready to do just that. Imagine what it would feel like to be totally accepted for who you are. This is the kind of radical hospitality that I'm calling us to practice, a full-bodied, heart, mind, and soul experience that leaves no one, and I mean no one, behind. What is most important is what we hold within us. As Martin Luther King reminds us over and over and over again, every time I read his speech, the most important thing is the content of our character and nothing less. Let this house be a dwelling place for courage, for integrity, for love, engendered, nourished by a family that speaks of we and means all humankind. I invite us to take a few moments in silent reflection and prayer. My friends, are we worthy? All those doubts we hold in our hearts, are we worthy? I want to hear it. Are we worthy?
Yes.
Are we worthy? Are we worthy?
Oh, yes.
Is everybody else worthy?
Oh, yes.
And let's do it. For this we pray. May it be so. Amen.